I want to thank the legislature. I think it was a good week of public discussion about how we bring property taxes way down in Indiana. And the data that came out from the legislative analysis this week reveals something very important that for everyone to understand. We are looking here at the possibility of the biggest tax cut, I suppose, in Indiana history. This is not simply a restructuring. For every dollar of new sales tax in our proposal, $1.95 of tax reduction would go to Hoosiers. This comes from the use of some of the surplus that we've restored, some of the Racino slots machine money, and then, most importantly, the effect of the caps, the permanent protection of homeowners and rental property and business. And so if our plan can be held together, we are looking at a dramatic tax reduction. We've talked to old-timers and veterans around Indiana state government. No one can think of a larger one in Indiana history. But I hope that this will only inspire legislators to keep working with us as they have so far. We have a great chance to make a major tax cut, return an awful lot of money to taxpayers in this state, which I think would have great effect on home values and on pocketbooks and on the long-term economy of Indiana.
When we look at your draft, what portion of that $703 million in tax relief would have to be replaced by local income tax?
None. You know, that should be the very last resort. Another thing that the LSA data makes plain is that local governments and schools, all they have to do is moderate their spending growth going forward. All they have to do is what we've already done in state government. We slowed the growth of spending in state government from 6% to 2%, balanced the budget without a tax increase. They don't even have to do that much. So I think the local option should be left there for communities that feel they must use it. But the great news here is that we can have the biggest tax reduction in Indiana history and do it without without that option being exercised in every community I know of.
Is the question whether the caps would work with local government? How big of a roadblock is that for them?
Say it again.
Senator Kennedy questioned whether the caps would work and whether the local government could function.
Well, he said it might make it a little tough. That was the idea. You know, you have to be with the taxpayers ultimately here or those who want government to grow. I think what I see when I look at these numbers is how very simple it will be for local governments to help us provide this tax relief. All they have to do is slow down slightly the growth of spending going forward. Quit growing at 6% or more a year, which has been their pattern, and grow at more like 5 or 4. And we did something much tougher than that in state government, so we know it can be done.
Governor, clearly the numbers show that that's true for the vast majority of counties.
Uh-huh.
But there's also very little savings in those counties. The big savings dollars come in a few counties,
mm-hmm.
which couldn't just slow their growth to 5%. They would suffer big cuts.
I dispute that. As far as I've seen, this includes the IPS district. Spending could continue to grow. They just have to slow it down. But you can't have it both ways. If you want major tax relief and reduction, then by definition, business as usual will have to change where spending has been too much and growing too fast. And the only way to preserve business as usual in some of those places would be to subsidize them with the taxes of people in other counties, and I'm against that. Yeah. Yeah. The difference is the effect of the caps, which LSA has shown us is even larger than we thought. The $1.19 is simply from the surplus, use of some surplus, and the Racino money. And then the effect of the caps as they take effect in 2009 brings the relief up to about $1.95 for every dollar of sales tax. Pretty sure. I mean, there's still a few counties out, but I don't think it could move very much.
Lake County raises something on the order of $1 billion in property taxes right now. Is it reasonable to expect them to cut $367 million of that by 2010?
Remember the enormous amount of levies we're taking off of that county and others. And I think business as usual would have to change in Lake County, but people have said that for a long time. Even existing law will compel that. And you know, what won't work is to continue on with 88 taxing districts all doing their own thing, no cooperation, no consolidation, no economies of any kind, and ask for a bailout from the rest of Indiana. That ain't happening.
Governor, what does the Tajnay-Bailey case told you about the reforms you've initiated?
First thing is, it broke my heart. Every such case does. Now, we have cut the caseloads in half, and they're on their way to being cut by three-fourths. What it tells me is that human judgment is fallible, and in this case, tragically so. But this was not from lack of effort or attention. That used to be the case in Indiana. Children would go months without anyone looking in on them. There were 8 visits in 3 weeks to this household, and still a tragic human error of judgment occurred. I know the only heart more broken than hearts more broken than mine and the families the family and also the workers. We have a lot of trauma in the people who have to do this incredibly difficult work right now. And our message to them is, stay the course. Indiana needs you to do this work. And the fact that something so unspeakable happened here doesn't mean that, can't mean that we do any less than we're doing. The system is dramatically better, provably better, recognized nationally now as better, but it still made a tragic mistake here, and human judgment will always enter in, and I guess we'll always have to accept that occasionally mistakes like this will be made. And all we can do is continue strengthening the system, adding people, resources, and better training to it, and try to reduce as close to zero as possible these unacceptable outcomes.
Should anybody lose their job over this?
I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that that's for the review that comes up now. All I know is that we just have to redouble our efforts. We have slashed the number of cases folks are dealing with. We have dramatically improved this system. And this is just a reminder that that effort can never stop, because perfection is unattainable.
Are you still satisfied with Terry Payne's leadership in the department?
Yes, of course. But we were just honored nationally for the vast improvements in this system, and he's responsible for that. But as I've just said, all the resources we've added, all the caseworkers we've added, all the training we've added, 8 visits in 21 days, still did not eliminate the possibility that after a lot of discussion, somebody made a tragic error in judgment. And whoever made that error is probably the most heartbroken person around right now. But the investigation ought to be pursued to its end. Maybe something I haven't heard of yet will come to light.
Governor, back to the tax plan, as you know, lawmakers have expressed concerns about some aspects of it. Special interest groups, some big ones, have attacked parts of it.
Yeah.
How do you keep it intact? What's your message to those groups?
Well, you know, what a surprise that special interests have shown up. That's who comes to hearings like this. By and large, taxpayers don't. And that's what we're here for. My message to the special interests is, think about the interest of the state and the taxpayer. My message to the legislators is, think of the taxpayers first. We have a huge opportunity here to deliver massive tax reduction to the people of Indiana and make ourselves a stronger, more prosperous state in so doing. And so listen to the special interests, and there may be some adjustments we need to make, but don't let them take charge of the process.
The assessor part of your plan.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Karras has been the Lake County assessor since '94, been reelected many times, yet he's the only county assessor in the state with no state certification Is that an example of why you want to take that decision away from the voters and make it an appointed decision?
Well, it sounds like an argument for reform of some kind. You know, what I've said is I think we ought to professionalize as much as possible this process and end these unacceptably unfair assessments that it continually produces. There's more than one way to get to a more professional system, but what you've just told me suggests to me one reason why we, every time I'm in Lake County, I've run into so many examples of strange assessments.
Governor, the EPA says it's holding its public hearings next week in response to intense public interest on the U.S. steel permit in Gary. Do you still feel the item is acting in the best interest of Hoosiers regarding the permit? And also, do you feel the state will be vindicated by the EPA once its findings are complete?
I don't know. I never predict what the federal government will say or do. I know that the people at IDEM are very professional, committed environmentalists, and that they do their duty well. But that doesn't mean that they'll always come to the same conclusion as some bureaucrat working for the federal government.
Governor, when you say there was a mistake made in the Tajani Bailey case, are you thinking of an individual made mistake or the rules and policies and regulation within the system was a mistake?
A human individual judgment or group judgment, but someone finally, in all these cases, has to make this excruciating decision, sort of decision, and that decision we now know was the wrong one with tragic consequences. But it, unlike 3 and 4 years ago, it wasn't because nobody was watching, nobody was there. It wasn't because people had unbearably large caseloads. There was intense activity here, 8 visits, they tell me, in 21 days. The system was very active on behalf of this little girl, and yet someone with the best of intentions, someone who's given their career to the protection of children, finally had to make a call and made the wrong one. And my heart goes out first of all to this child and to those who loved her, but after that to the people who made this mistake. And I know they'd give anything on earth if they could have it back.
Does that make the mistake worse, the fact that it was done not because somebody was overloaded with other cases, but because they blew the decision?
I don't know how that can be worse. I don't know what could have been worse than a system in which children went without oversight, without involvement, because of the lack of resources and the lack of training. Nothing could be worse than that. I don't know what more to say except that one such event is too many, but as long as human judgment is a part of this, it'll always be difficult to get to zero.
Governor, I want to go back to Mike's question about how you keep your plan together.
Yeah.
Because the when they heard the assessor bill, there seemed to be some real concerns among lawmakers.
Mm-hmm.
Special interests necessarily, but
yeah,
lawmakers, about some of the issues. Senator Kinley is concerned about where the cap is. Then in the welfare discussion yesterday, lawmakers had some real concerns about the welfare, about taking over the welfare program. So what do you do to work with legislators to try to keep your plan moving?
Yeah. Talking to them all the time. Did you really expect there'd be no questions or no concerns, especially in these very early innings? Did you really expect special interests wouldn't swarm around, try to protect the status quo? Of course. Big changes always bring out such people. But what I'm banking on here is the enormous opportunity. First of all, the demand of taxpayers for property tax relief. Secondly, the opportunity to do more than something small to deliver a major tax cut to Hoosiers. And I think taxpayers will be heard from more and more as we move forward. This is just the first inning.
Governor, to follow up on Leslie's question, when Senator Lawson's committee heard Senate Bill 16, that's the one that would eliminate township assessors, that bill would also keep county assessors elected instead of appointed. Senator Lansky made a point that there may be some logistical issues to shift the township responsibilities to the county level assessor's offices. space in the courthouse. Would the staff do that to accommodate that additional workload? And that might entail additional appropriations by that individual county to fund the office. So, your reaction to that concern, please.
Compared to the problem of mishandled, unfair assessments, that is a nit. Now, I think actually when you go from 1,100 unqualified people running around assessing property to 92 qualified ones, you're going to save money undoubtedly in the efficiency of consolidation. I think somehow somebody will find the office space.
The Legislative Commission, Senator Kenley led this summer. One of their recommendations isn't included in your plan to kind of put some more oversight on TIFs and abatements.
Uh-huh.
Which cost property taxes, but which also are the main economic development tools local governments have, and they're also used in conjunction with IEDC projects. Do you have any message to lawmakers to maybe tread lightly on that area?
No. I thought they had some good ideas, and I've told Senator Kenley and others that if I think that very well that and some other things might come into this reform as it moves forward. I tried to keep my proposal simple and clean and aimed at right at the bullseye of how we cut property taxes in a major way for Hoosiers, but I didn't mean at all to exclude other constructive ideas that could come into this, and that's certainly one category.
Do you have any comments on the DMV sending out the 4,000 double-printed letters with Social Security corrections?
No harm, no foul, no cost, no big deal. One good thing about having about using contractors is they pay all the costs of any mistake. But no, as I understand it, nobody's information was compromised, and it'll be zero cost to taxpayers. And you know, it's important to get after this problem of identity theft any way we can. And so, you know, it's a glitch, but zero cost to taxpayers, and as far as I know, no risk, no inconvenience.
Governor, with the BMV, Governor Spitzer in New York recently tried to create driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants. And there, it didn't work, obviously, but there, as here, there's concern about folks driving without driver's licenses and without insurance and creating a danger. Do you consider that at all, or is that something that requires a national solution?
The immigration problem is real and really does require a national solution. And, you know, whatever the right answer is, Governor Spitzer didn't have it.
Professor Barnes, this week, he basically said that your administration, IDEM, followed the letter of the law when it came to the BP permit.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said, but there are some shortcomings in that law. Mm-hmm. Have you thought at all about how you fix those? And he also said that IDEM could do a better job of explaining these huge permits in terms that normal people can understand what's going on. Any ideas on how you address those issues?
Yeah, I'm very grateful to Professor Barnes, and he's as well qualified as anybody in America to look at this problem, and so we're going to act on his recommendations for process change. You know, what he said was what was completely lost the first time around. The water quality of Lake Michigan would be absolutely the same if this permit took effect as it is today, and zero effect on the dramatically improved quality of water up there, and that's what we insist on. So, you know, when he said that IDEM could do a better job of communicating, didn't have to tell us that because science and facts and went out the window in the early days of this. There must be some better way for the public to understand. So many people were completely misled that somehow the water quality of Lake Michigan would be changed or be hurt in some way. Totally untrue, and he's now documented that.
Is there some sort of legislation that should be proposed, though, to implement some of his recommendations?
Yeah, I think it may be necessary, because I think what he was saying is Indiana statutes can create some confusion.
Right.
And again, given my regard for former Deputy Administrator Professor Barnes, we'll act on whether it requires legislative change. We'll propose it or request it from the General Assembly.
Dr. Reed held a news conference this morning about this computer-based instructional tool to help kids keep track of where they are as I steps concerned.
I think it's great. One of the benefits of moving to spring ISTEP was we saved some money. This can now be put into something that Dr. Reed has recommended a long time. That's some diagnostic checks during the year to see which kids are progressing and which ones need some extra help. So I think it's the yet another benefit of moving ISTEP back to the spring where it should have been. And I'm glad they've got this done.
Voluntary program. You think kids or schools will be able to do this?
Well, I hope they will. Most schools I know have really wanted to do this. They really want to know and really be judged on how much progress are they helping kids make. Kids arrive at school in all different levels of readiness, and so this monitoring to see, to check on improvement, most educators, I believe, think is really important, and I would expect it to be well received.
When you were putting together your tax plan, did you consider at all not raising the sales tax a full 1 percentage point and instead cutting back in state government so that you could absorb more of these costs that you were taking over instead of doing
$1? Uh-huh. I looked at every possibility. I would point out to you that we're operating the leanest state government in decades, tightest budget in 55 years, followed by another lean budget passed last year. There are 4,000, between 4,000 and 5,000 fewer employees on the payroll of state government than there were 3 years ago. The payroll of state government would be smaller in 08 in dollars than it was in 2004. So we're looking all the time, quite separate from property taxes. We look every day in every corner for ways to save taxpayer money, and we will continue to do that.
What are your advisors telling you about the possibility that the housing crisis could drag Indiana into a recession next year?
What we know is that Indiana is leading the Midwest economically right now. Unemployment in Indiana has gone down over the last year, year and a half. It's gone up in every other state. We have the lowest unemployment in the Midwest, the lowest in 6 years. Now, it's not nearly good enough, and therefore, one of my biggest concerns is that the national economy might soften and pull us and everyone else down with it. What I keep saying to our advisors is Indiana doesn't need a boom, a national boom. Just give us moderate growth and we will continue to overachieve. We will continue to outperform other states. We've got businesses moving in from Illinois and moving in from Michigan, and we are winning more than 90% of the competitions as we did with Medco and Honda and so forth. But a national recession, we'd be just as vulnerable as anybody else, and so let's just hope that the national economy will at least grow slowly, because Indiana is separating dramatically from the rest of the region in economic success right now.
Is Indiana able to do anything to address the subprime crisis on a statewide basis?
We have no, it's like immigration and other issues. We need national answers. Most of these lenders and so forth are somewhere else, and limits on what I think any one state can do. Yeah.
If that's the case with all the unemployment being down and that we're growing, mm-hmm. How come our state revenues were down the second month in a row?
Well, they're ahead. I've learned to only look about every quarter, and we're ahead of projections for the 5 months so far. The pattern has been, I don't know what will happen in December, the pattern has been that be a little under their projection the first 2 months and then more than make it up in the third month of a quarter. I don't know what will happen this time, but for the 5 months, we're slightly ahead of projection, and let's hope that continues. Thanks.
Oh, all right. Shepherd Local Government Commission.
Yeah. I've had a preview of coming attractions. Don't miss the movie.